So it must be a mourning for encouragement. And throughout the Bible, the Lord has used two very impressive, reassuring words. He spoke them with much love and care and compassion. These two words have brought us much comfort and have eased and delivered our hearts and minds many times. And coming from the mouth of the Lord, they are very encouraging and powerful. And these two words, as we know, are fear not. The comforting command of fear not appears in the Bible many times, slightly over 100 times. The King James Version records 103 times that these words, fear not, in the Bible. Now, if you read, there are some people say, well, there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. But what they are referring to are phrases that refer to fear not. Like the Lord said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Well, in those words are fear not, or do not be afraid. It means fear not. But the words fear not appear 103 times in the Bible, in the King James Version. This morning I would like to discuss different times and settings in which the Lord said, fear not. And with his help, I'd also like to speak about why he said, fear not. So if you could turn with me, we're going to read to Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 to 34. And now that I've found my water. Matthew chapter 6 and beginning at verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, and all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So the Lord will take care of our needs. Food, water, clothing are considered basic needs, and God will always supply them. Typically, we don't worry about food and clothing in this country, but there is instability in today's economy. Regardless of the economy, the state of the economy, the Lord will always take care of his children. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 states, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He will never abandon us, and he tells us, fear not. Hebrews 13, verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Again, the Lord is using those words, do not fear, or fear not. If God doesn't forget one little sparrow, how can he forget us? Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, so beautifully states, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. This is another reason why the Lord says, fear not, because he tells us, I will not forget you. God watches over and cares for the birds and feeds them. The Lord takes care of his creation, including what we may consider lesser forms of creation. If God takes care of every animal, why wouldn't he take care of us? He will always supply our needs and tells us, fear not. And verse 27, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And think about what worry does to you. I mean, worry can have some effect on them, and we all do it at some point or another. Who gets a stomach ache from worry? I mean, I've done it. Who gets a headache from worry? Your body reacts to it. And Jesus, as co-creator, knew what worry would do to our nervous system. And he said, don't worry. No, worry can't add an hour to your life, but it sure can shorten it. And Jesus, as co-creator, tells you, don't worry. And Philippians chapter 6 says, be anxious for nothing. I mean, this should be a sign. Notice that the signs appear like on the parkway or turnpike or some major highway. There's always something like, you know, drive carefully. Icy conditions may exist, or there's a major snowstorm coming. I think they should, and unfortunately they won't. Put a sign up, be anxious for nothing. Now, because it's from the Bible, they're not going to do it. You know how many accidents those words would eliminate? Be anxious for nothing. How many accidents are caused by anxiety? I got to pass this person. They're driving too slow. You know, I don't like the way they're driving. And for whatever reason, I have to pass them. I have to jump the red light. I'm not going to wait behind the red light. So, you know, as it's turning red, you zoom through the intersection. And God's looking down saying, you know, be anxious for nothing. Avoid an accident. Even regarding the end times that we are living in, Jesus said, this is Matthew 24, verse 6, I'm quoting. It says, see that you are not frightened or troubled. And we're living in end times. And Jesus tells us this morning, see that you are not troubled or frightened. Because we know the Lord. And as bad as things get, and as Dylan said, they will get worse. Every time they get worse, just make my point of the rapture come closer. So as things get worse, just think, I'm going to see Jesus. If things get worse, think of that encouraging thought. Statistically, 80% of what we worry about never comes to pass. It never happens. And Jesus keeps telling us, fear not. God allows the flower to open for a day or so, and then the heat of the sun dries it up and it withers. And yet for a day or two, God gives the flower its beauty. God gives beauty even to a wildflower that no one is caring for. But God's caring for it. Who waters the flowers that grow? And say you walk through a park, you don't see anybody over there with a hose watering the wildflowers. God's taking care of them. He's taking care of the wildflowers that no one else is caring for. He's going to take care of us, so put that in your mind. And he tells us, fear not. The people that don't know the Lord may worry. And the Lord may be telling us, you are worried as if you don't know me. I want to read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. As we said, the Lord may be telling us, you worry as if you don't know me. And with that in mind, I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 28. I'm going to read it this time out of the King James Version. Actually, I'm going to start at 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? And here it comes. Have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then the next chapter, Isaiah 41, verse 10. My mother loved this verse. Do not fear, here it goes again, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Does it get any better than that? He is our almighty, most loving, most faithful Heavenly Father, who is the wisdom of the ages. Isaiah 40, verse 25 reads, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? He knows our needs before they occur. If he says, fear not, then we have nothing to fear, because he will take care of every problem, even if it is a crisis. We want to remember, as we sang this morning, he is the Christ of every crisis. We don't have to worry about whether or not the Lord has an answer to our problems, because it's impossible to stump him. Whatever we bring to him, he's greater. If we place the Lord first in our lives, seeking his will and his righteousness, he will give us all that we need. And verse 34 of Matthew 6, do not worry or fear about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about tomorrow, because the way he took care of us in the past, he will take care of us in the future. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to read to you the prayer of St. Francis de Sales. It reads, be at peace. Do not look forward in fear to the changes of life. Rather, look to them with full hope as they arise. God, whose very own you are, will deliver you out of them. He has kept you hitherto, and he will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, God will bury you in his arms. It doesn't get better than that. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace, and he will put aside and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. When Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee to reach his disciples, they thought they had seen a ghost, and they cried out for fear. What was Jesus' response? Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid, or fear not. Jesus walked on the water. He walks on what we fear. This is the symbolism of Jesus walking on the water. He walks on what we fear. That is why we could believe him when he says, fear not. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3, I'll read to you. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. There it goes again. He who, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you walk, when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. And this verse really came alive to me after I had cancer the second time. The Lord redeemed us. He was the ransom for our souls. He bought us with his blood. And he says, you are mine. We belong to him. Do you take care of what belongs to you? I think so. Certainly God will take care of you. And this Almighty God tells us, fear not. The Lord summoned or called us by name, meaning that he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he tells us, fear not. Even in the face of death, when Jairus' daughter died, Jesus told him, do not be afraid or fear not. Only believe. Now, Jairus had a dead daughter. And Jesus still said, fear not. We know God is still raising the dead. It happened with the evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. He prayed over a clinically dead person. That person came alive again. It's still happening. So if God can raise the dead, fear not. There's no situation too extreme for Jesus. He's never at a loss for remedies. He's never at a loss for power. Matthew 28, 18 states, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When he wants to heal us or even raise the dead, he doesn't have to consult the medical text. He doesn't need to have a conference with top-notch doctors or scientists. You know, sometimes when there's a very serious patient, doctors will, the specialists will get together. What's the best way to handle it? Jesus doesn't have to consult anybody. He knows exactly. Doesn't take any MRIs, no x-rays, no echocardiograms. He sees what's causing the problem right away. He sees all the cells that are not in line, not doing what they should do. He sees the atoms that are not in line, doing what he wants. And when he says you'll be healed, every atom, every electron has to obey Jesus. His power is beyond. We can't even imagine what his power is like. And he tells us, do not be afraid. Okay, he is the great physician. He doesn't have to consult anybody. Why does the Lord tell us fear not? What are some of the reasons why the Lord says fear not? What do we find in the Bible about the qualities and the personality of the Lord? Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. The vastness of billions of light years of outer space is known as God's handiwork. Billions of light years. That's just God's handiwork. It's also known as his backyard. Now we always say, the universe is believed to extend a minimum of 15 billion light years. Let's just stop a minute. Something to bring out over here. What's a light year? Well, it's the distance that light could travel in 1 year. Well, light could go from here to the moon in 1/3 seconds. Where could it go in a month? How far could it go in a year? How far could light go in 15 billion light years? But that's just God's backyard. This is who we pray to. What is beyond him? Absolutely, positively, nothing. Nothing. When we come before him, we have to come believing. And he's probably looking down saying, why are you doubting? How come, I mean, what's going through your mind? What are you doubting for? This is the God we're praying to. 15 billion light years is, that's just his backyard. Psalm 89, verse 13. You have a mighty arm, and strong is your hand. We, his children, are held in his mighty arms, and he tells us, fear not. When we go to God with requests, nothing's too difficult for him. He doesn't have to consult anyone or reference to any text in order to answer our prayers. We are safe in the arms of the Lord. We don't know how safe we are. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. I love this verse. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That's why Jesus is telling us this morning, fear not. Eternally strong, mighty, loving, compassionate arms that will never fail. Impossible. We can always lean on those everlasting, infinite arms and trust him. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. God rules. He is sovereign and reports to no one. Isaiah 43, verses 11 to 13. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior beside me, and I am God. Even from eternity, I am he. And he is the one who tells us, fear not. The Lord is always in control, even if it doesn't appear that way here on earth. Now, I just want to pass something out over here. I want you to, you could take this with you. Maybe Brother Mike, if you want to pass these out. The Lord is always in control, even if it doesn't appear that way here on earth. And what Brother Mike is passing out is, my child, trust me. I have everything under control. And the saying of St. Francis de Sales is also on there. God will always be on his throne, and he shares it with no one. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 states, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. And Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. John chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus informed us that we are held in his hands, and no one can rip us out of his hands. The same hands, we are in the same hands that created the universe, in the same hands that hold stars. We are held in the mighty hands of Jesus, and he tells us, fear not. When we are burdened and weighed down with care and worry, Jesus tells us, fear not, because his hands lift our burdens. When all our surroundings seem dark and we can't even see our next step, Jesus can tell us, fear not, because the darkness can't hide us from the ever-watchful eyes of Jesus. His loving hand will guide us from the night into the day. God, who took care of you last year and all the previous years, will surely take care of you in this new year. Matthew 28, verse 20 says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So I'll stop there. We're getting down to prayer. If someone could lead us in a word of prayer.